Mariam did not exist before this episode. What they are about to describe is happening across London as you listen. This is their story. In one of the most deprived constituencies in the country, healthcare training programs sit empty while hospital wards face chronic staff shortages. Mariam wanted to become a nurse, had the qualifications, and found institutions ready to train her. What she discovered was a system that treats the people who could fill those gaps as unaffordable luxuries.
I knew I wanted to be a nurse from the age of 15, watching my grandmother receive such gentle, skilled care at North Middlesex Hospital during her final months. My parents had come from Cyprus in the 1980s and built a life around our corner shop in Edmonton, working every hour to give me chances they never had. When I finished my A-levels at Enfield County School in 2018, nursing felt like the perfect way to give something back to the community that had raised me. I spent 2019 working as a healthcare assistant at North Middlesex Hospital, saving every penny for university while getting real experience on the wards. The work was demanding, but I loved it, helping patients with their daily needs, supporting families through difficult times, learning from the qualified nurses who became my mentors. I applied to nursing programs across London that autumn, confident in my grades and my commitment. The rejections started arriving in January 2020. Not rejections based on my qualifications. Those were fine. Rejections that all said the same thing. Health Education England had reduced funded training places for London by 15% that year. The universities wanted to take me but couldn't afford to without the government funding that came with each place. There is no funding, the admissions officer at King's College London told me over the phone. The places simply don't exist this year. I waited. I reapplied in 2020 and was accepted to the adult nursing program at Middlesex University. I was thrilled until the second call came in March. Same story. Health Education England's allocation had been cut again. We cannot afford to run that program, the course leader explained. The Treasury has reduced our budget and we just don't have the places to offer. It sounded reasonable. Everyone accepted it. I accepted it. So I went back to work as a senior healthcare assistant, promoted because of my experience and my clear intention to qualify. For 2 years, I worked on understaffed wards where the nurses were exhausted, where agency staff were brought in at triple the cost of permanent nurses, where patients waited longer for care because there simply weren't enough qualified hands. Every shift, the ward managers told me the same thing. We desperately need more nurses, but there's just no budget for training places. It was Kamal who opened my eyes. I met him at a healthcare workers union meeting in early 2022. He'd been trying to get onto a paramedic training program and hitting the same walls. Over coffee after the meeting, he told me something that made no sense. He'd visited the nursing school at Middlesex University and seen rows of empty classrooms, fully equipped simulation labs sitting unused 3 days a week, lecturers who had been told to prepare for smaller cohorts. They've got 40 empty places on the adult nursing program, he said. Everything's there, the facilities, the teachers, the clinical placements arranged with trusts across North London. They just can't fill them because Health Education England's allocation was cut by HM Treasury. I walked to Middlesex University the next weekend and saw it for myself. The Archway Campus Nursing Building was magnificent. Modern equipment, spacious lecture theatres, computer labs designed for 120 students but running with only 80. I spoke to a student on her break who confirmed what Kamal had told me. They built this place for full capacity, she said. But every year they take fewer students because the funding isn't there. She pointed to the clinical skills laboratory. Look at those beds. Half of them don't get used because they can't afford to train enough people to fill them. That was the moment I started to understand. The people existed, me, Kamal, dozens of others I'd met who wanted to train as nurses and had the qualifications to succeed. The facilities existed, I could see them with my own eyes. The clinical placements existed, North Middlesex Hospital and other trusts were crying out for student nurses to train on their wards. The lecturers existed, redundancy threatened staff who wanted to teach larger cohorts. So what exactly was it that there was no money for? I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told me it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. HM Treasury had decided that training nurses was unaffordable, while the same Treasury could always find money for tax cuts, for bank bailouts, for consultancy contracts. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, whether the skills could be taught, whether the materials were available. They were. All of them. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. It is the same logic as a household that says we cannot afford it, except a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. Health Education England, funded by HM Treasury, had been told to ration training places as though pounds were a finite resource that might run out. But the government that issues those pounds had chosen not to spend them into existence to connect willing people to essential work. I'm still here, still working as a healthcare assistant, still watching. I've learned that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or economic necessity. It was a series of political choices made by people in Westminster who had alternatives. They could have funded more training places. They chose not to. They could have treated healthcare education as an investment in the country's capacity to care for its people. They chose to treat it as a cost to be minimised. Every shift I work, I see the consequences of that choice. Overworked nurses, delayed care, agency staff costing three times what a permanent nurse would cost because someone decided it was unaffordable to train the permanent staff we needed. I understand now that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare, as though the government that controls the cupboard couldn't choose to fill it.
What Mariam experienced has a name: fake experts. This technique involves citing economists or commentators who treat the household budget analogy as self-evident, as though repeating it makes it true. Think of how tobacco companies once paraded doctors in white coats to claim cigarettes were safe, or how pharmaceutical companies fund studies that support their products. The authority figures exist, but their expertise is compromised by the agenda they serve. In Mariam's case, every time officials said there is no funding, they cited unnamed economists who supposedly proved that government spending must be rationed like household spending. Economists say we cannot spend more on health without causing inflation, she was told. But which economists? The profession is divided. Many macroeconomists argue the binding constraint is real capacity, not currency. Economists say, without naming them, is an appeal to unnamed authority. The UK government issues its own currency. It does not need to find pounds before it spends them. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. And in Enfield North, those resources were sitting idle. Empty training places, qualified teachers, willing students, hospitals desperate for staff. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Enfield North ranks 59 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 2. There are 580 registered charities in the constituency, according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. The constituency received £14.9 million in total grants, according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.